Oh, so much to get into with our guy, Doug Whaley. Joins us every Wednesday from 9 o'clock until 10. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. What's up, Doug?
The Pirates' winning streak is up. We have to be excited. And I was at the game last night, and it was, for me, hopefully an indication of things to come that, yes, against the Mets, the bats were hot. They were scoring runs. Didn't have to come down to something crucial. But I'm more excited of the way they won last night. Making plays. Skeens battled. They came down and won a close game at the end. Bednar really didn't have...
That was nasty.
Yes, it was nasty. It was just exciting. You have to be happy with the way the Pirates are playing now. The one thing I want to get you guys' opinion on is... Two things. One, only thing I'm worried about Skeens is his lack of efficiency because he throws a lot of pitches. But I was with a guy there last night, one of my buddies, Dave Pettit, and he says he thinks the other team's game plan is he's so dominant, let's just keep fouling it off, make him throw a lot of pitches so we can get him out in five innings and then go to the bullpen and then go after that. Mm-hmm. And we may not score anything, but the Pirates aren't going to score either, and then maybe get the runs after once the bullpen comes in.
I think it's been a cat-and-mouse thing that he's dealt with last year, dealt with this year, and still I think he's third in innings per start in the National League, and he's up there among the league leaders in innings pitched. So I do think that's the plan, is to make him go throw a lot of pitches early and not be efficient, but... He's really bucked that more often than not this year, which is outstanding to see for a guy who's not even spent, just over a full year in the big leagues.
Yes, and you think about it. Once he starts mastering the art of pitching, how much better he's
going. Oh, yeah.
Right now, he's just out there on full talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, hey, I'm better than you.
Think about year five.
Like this. Yeah, year five, when he has that intellectual pitching mind, he's gone. But anyway, that I'm just excited.
It's good. It is a lot of fun, and even you can feel good about last night because of what they did previously. Mm-hmm. Even though they only scored one run, and you're like you're usually mad because they didn't score runs for Skeens, and that's a thing. It seems like it's a big time trend. It actually is a big time trend. They don't score runs for Skeens, but if you score one run and you win, and you showed that you could score runs previously the day before, and then the previous series, like that win is a lot easier. To take than
absolutely,
in the past.
That and place was juiced. You were there.
Yes,
you going today?
I am not going today.
Because you like your day games.
My day games, but my mom's in town, so I'm going to hang out. I'll see if she wants to go. Good call. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Nice and cold beer.
Odyssey skip day, so I might see all the...
Yeah.
I was actually told it's not. That there's just...
You're giving false information.
There's a handful of people from the station that are going today, but Odyssey skip days not for like a couple of weeks.
So I got caught in a lie.
Are you actually going?
No.
Oh.
I love it.
Real quick before we get to the Steeler stuff, because there's so much to get to with Doug. I can't believe I didn't tell this story before. And I think we can teach people something along the way here.
Oh, yes.
I was chubby whenever I got married. And so my wedding ring is tungsten. It can't be resized because we're cheap and at the time poor. And so I had to buy tungsten. And so my wedding ring falls off all the time. So I cut the grass the other day and then I couldn't find my wedding ring. And I was devastated about this. We're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary this August. I feel like there's symbolism there. I believe in that kind of stuff. If I lose the ring, I lose her. But that's because I have issues, Doran, as we've talked about frequently. So... I texted my father-in-law to see where I could maybe find a metal detector. Apparently, you can just walk into the library. They'll give you one for free. You got to return it like it's the Grapes of Wrath or something. You can just bring it back, and they're not going to ask any questions. Bethel Park Library had five. I can't imagine them ever needing all five at once.
Right. And it's all libraries or just Bethel Park?
I think Lebo had one or two.
Wow. Oh, so this is like a thing for libraries.
If you were to go to any library, they could order it in for you, like a book.
Wild.
They could borrow it from, let's say, the Bethel Park Library. So I went into my yard, and I did the entire backyard with this metal detector looking for my ring, which you can both see that I have right now. And I made my wife do the front yard because I didn't need somebody to snap a picture of Adam Crowley from 93.7 The Fan with a metal detector in his front yard. I think you look like a total wackadoo.
Mm-hmm.
We found the ring.
Where at?
Cabinet in my house.
Mm.
Yeah.
So have you returned the metal detector yet?
It is in the trunk of my car.
How big is this metal detector? That's is like it like a weed whacker?
Yeah, that's a great example.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you should go outside of the station and see what you find.
I bet you Callis could put that thing to good use. I could see Harry walking around with a metal
detector.
Yes.
Can you see Harry coming out of his bus with a metal detector?
Yes.
Well, I need a metal detector.
And board games.
Board games, metal detector.
Go around the van and just start looking for buried treasure? Is that what we're doing?
Why not? Did you know you could get a metal detector at the library?
At Bethel Park's library?
At any library.
I didn't.
And you're Mr. Bethel Park,
right? Well, I don't go to the library every day,
aren't
but I should. Wait, maybe
be a councilman.
Oh my gosh!
Know all this stuff.
No, I'll be a councilman in Green. I would have been a councilman in Greentree.
Oh, Greentree. Yeah.
But he's not because he lost.
I'm an employee of Bethel Park.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Anyway,
you want me to bring a metal detector in?
I have one. Do you have one?
I could get one from the library.
I have one in my trunk. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Doug, the Steelers 3 days ago had Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety, and their number one tight end was Pat Freiermuth. Now, he still may be their number one tight end, but now they have no Minkah Fitzpatrick. They've added Jonnu Smith. Are they better today than they were prior to making the deal?
Yes, they are, but I can give you the pros and the cons. The pros with Jonnu Smith, if they don't add another wide receiver, you have a combination of your number two wide receiver option, receiving option with Pat and Jonnu. Now, on defense, you know me. I've been yelling about DBs forever. So to add a third DB, absolutely love the move. Now, when you look at it at a macro level, what's the difference between this offseason with the Steelers and a Pirates offseason, except steroids? They're one-year-older guys, rentals, that are much better players than what the Pirates are getting, but you're not having a foundation here that you're saying, we're closer to winning a Super Bowl. And when you look at the DB part of it, as much as I like adding Jalen Ramsey, and he is an upgrade, none of the DBs have ball production. Let's look at some stats here. I looked at it. Jalen Ramsey, 24, 2 interception. 23, 3 interception. 22, 4 interceptions. Joey Porter, 24, 1 interception. 23, 1 interception. Darius Slay, 24, 0 interceptions. 23, 2 interceptions. 22, 3 interceptions. So you're not having ball production. Now let's take it even further.
Well, hold on. Well, so, you're not having ball production, but it's more production than what the Steelers had last year.
Granted. That's what I'm saying. It's on steroids, but you're not building a foundation to get to the ultimate goal.
Well, because Dante Jackson had 5 picks, but he also sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And Beanie Bishop had 4 picks, and I believe him to not be very good. So you had 9 picks from those two guys. Neither one of them are going to be in your starting lineup. So you're right.
Your ball production
less ball production. I'll take the better players, though, wouldn't you, over the ball production?
I'd like to have a better player with ball production is what I'm saying. Now, okay. So.
And you move Minkah, who only has 1 in 28 games.
Exactly.
You have one versatile corner, though, that you brought in that could play inside, that could play safety, that could play corner.
This is where I struggle with that. With Jalen Ramsey, because he's tall, if you want him to play against a taller inside receiver, but let's say Hollywood Brown, Zay Flowers, guys that are quick, and especially in that slot, they're going to be moving and have a two-way go against a guy that is his game's predicated on length. So when you look at Kansas City, Hollywood Brown, I would be like, check, let's go 11 personnel. And for people that don't know, 11, when you talk about personnel, the first number is running back, second one's tight end. So 11 personnel, 3 wide receivers. I'd make sure if Jalen Ramsey in the slot, check, Zay or Hollywood Brown, you go there, two-way goes, boom. All right. Even you want to say, well, he can practicing it better. Who's he practicing against in the Steelers, those three guys, to get better, besides DK and maybe Robert Woods? You're talking about
Calvin Austin,
which is going to give all those guys trouble. Because
hearing that.
What you have now is one type of corner. They have long, lengthy guys that need to be pressed and get their hands on you. Guess what? When you, as an offensive coordinator, I'm going to even 10 personnel and have two slot guys. And then you got some whoever in the middle, if it's Jalen Ramsey in the inside, and then you got to have another one, and you have two guys that are quick and fast and two-way goes. So I think that's just me. That's where how I would attack the Steelers now. So even though I'm saying they got better.
They got better, yeah.
So what you're saying is they got better, but
they're not closer,
incrementally better.
They're not closer to the ultimate goal.
You called it a Pirates offseason on steroids.
Right. And then, okay, you're going to say, well, they didn't mortgage anything for the future. So you're saying, okay, it didn't happen. Even if they win a playoff game, you're going to get rid of probably 30 or 40% of these rentals.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got 12 draft picks. So now you're going to say, you're going to tell me those 12 draft picks are going to come in and keep them at that same level as these rentals?
And no, but I think you can do both next year because you got $100 million in cap space.
All right, well then here's the nail in the coffin. What gives you confidence that they're going to be able to develop anybody?
Oh, I have zero confidence in that, but we wouldn't have a radio show if we could. If everything they did, we said, well, we don't trust them,
right?
So it's a bad move.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that when you get it, I'm looking at more the foundation of what they're doing until they start showing me they can pick people or trade for people like Minka Fitzpatrick, which was a very good player when he got here and can incrementally got worse.
Oh, man.
Help me out here, fellas. Please.
All right. Well, we got it. We got it.
Like, who's gotten better?
Yes.
Let's get more into this when we come back because we've run out of time because somebody told a really long story about a metal detector that a lot of texters, by the way, are writing in saying that Harry definitely ignored the entire story and didn't know that I already had a metal detector.
Correct.
Right.
Is that what happened, Harry?
I
You're not listening now?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's not like he's talking to RJ. RJ's back to doing work.
I was talking to RJ.
He's doing work. I can see.
He's got his we have both of our computers lined up.
RJ's not even looking at you.
What are you talking
RJ's
about?
RJ's doing all of the work.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of the podcast, but I'm helping him with like the podcast formatting and such. I mean, don't put your head down at me, Crowley. I'm doing work. I'm helping the youth. I mean, come on now.
I tell an entire story about a metal detector, and he's like, you want me to go get one at the library?
Oh, I didn't know you could get one. You can? Okay, I'll go get one.
What? You can tweet us.
Isn't there one up your, in your trunk. I'm sorry, that was it.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Perhaps I could use the metal detector to find the robot that is controlling Nicholas Harry Callis on the inside. Mm. I think there's just a little guy in there operating him with controls because sometimes...
It's drunk.
Or it's a hamster on a wheel.
He goes, I don't go to the library. You don't say. So if you missed the last segment, you missed a lot. Doug Whaley called the Steelers offseason a Pirates offseason on steroids. Because you get these old guys, and yeah, they make the team better, but only incrementally so. And we spent the majority of that segment talking about the defense. I mean, I'm drooling over this Jonnu Smith, though, on the offensive side. I was watching some of his highlights. I didn't watch the lowlights. They don't usually put those on YouTube. But I was watching the highlights. I don't look at this guy as a tight end.
No.
And 72% of his snaps last year, Doug, were played in the slot or even outside the numbers. He played almost as many snaps outside the numbers as he did in line.
Right.
So I think this guy is a reasonable number two target.
Yeah,
like absolutely. He can run away from people. He makes guys miss. He runs people over. I tweeted it out, @_AdamCrowley. People go look at the highlights. I mean, that guy can move.
No doubt.
He looks more like a wide receiver to me than a tight end, too. Just a big one.
Now, let's go back to Arthur Smith and Atlanta when he had him and Kyle Pitts. That's what you're hoping happened. Mm-hmm. Even though Pitts didn't have the numbers Jonnu had. I think Jonnu was 50 for like 580.
And he was targeted a whole bunch.
Yeah. So that's... With that and the running back situation and DK Metcalf, you're excited about the offense. Now, we talked about this off the air, and you had brought up before where Aaron Rodgers is going to take some liberties with this offense. Are we going to run into a situation where Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers start having difficulties with their relationship like Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith did? Because when you look at both resumes, they're pretty comparable.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's going to have issues with Russell, do you think he's going to give the liberty to Aaron, and why?
Not if it works. If it works.
It was working early with Russ.
And then it stopped working. And I think that Russ did something, and they're like, okay, it's time to pull it back a little bit. I think there's going to be more liberties with Aaron, though, because I think that they probably think the same. I don't know the relationship between Arthur Smith and Russ, but I don't think that they are the same type of makeup of a person, of a football person. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith are similar in makeup and kind of see the game maybe the same way. That's why I think that Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers thought that this could work and wanted to get Aaron Rodgers. And obviously Arthur Smith would have had to been on board with that. So I think that the leeway there is it could be so minute that it's like, oh yeah, I'm not changing the route concepts. I'm just changing what I feel DK is best at and maybe cutting the route off shorter or maybe running the route longer. It's still within the offense and still within your play call art. But I can see little things that maybe will help the process of me throwing the ball and getting the ball out. I think it'll be little things like that. And Arthur Smith, like, you're on the field. You're wearing the helmet. You got to see that, and you got to do that.
And then he throws that first pick, and then what happens?
And then Russ. Maybe. Then.
All I'm saying
Howard,
is.
Howard.
And I'm totally on board with you, and I don't. I'm just bringing out questions that mm-hmm. people could say, well, let's be consistent. Then if he's going to be consistent, and if Russ does it and it doesn't work, and Aaron does it and it doesn't work, then guess what? Do you have a schism again? And then they're not going to go to Howe. I don't see
No.
But
I think part of it last year, we talked about this at the time. We talked about it when those reports came out that Russ and Arthur Smith weren't seeing eye to eye earlier this offseason. So he throws 500 yards, or they put up 500 yards. He throws 400 yards in that Bengals game. And then that's reportedly where Arthur Smith then comes and says, yo, like, you can't be checking into things at the line with the frequency that you have been. That also coincides with when Pickens got hurt and they were moving a bunch of guys around. And I am wondering if how much of it was actually about Russ and how much of it was you want to keep everybody on the same page, because you think about Christmas and Russell Wilson and George Pickens not on the same page. And I just wonder if their relative inexperience at wide receiver once Pickens went down had something to do with, hey, Russ, just run what's called.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that to be the case. It's an offensive line. Like, it's a whole
that
thing.
That too. Which is going to transfer to this year. You got a quarterback that just came in for 3 days of minicamp. He has no relationship with these guys in this offense. So is Arthur Smith going to say, so everybody can be on the same page, we got to do it by the book? And you know as well as I do, those quarterbacks, especially with the pelts on the wall like Aaron, I'm like, yeah, that's great, but no. In the red zone, we're going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I just, all I'm saying is, everything we're saying, it can come up and rear its head again because the situations are very similar.
Mm-hmm. I think
a lot of new weapons.
I think it comes to a point that where it's like, all right, like, well, you know, if you see something, Aaron, yeah, go ahead, go for it. If everybody's on the same page, we'll rep it, we'll practice it. And obviously, something like in game, you can't just come up with something new, draw something up in the dirt, and think that everybody's gonna be on the same page. But yeah, we'll rep it, we'll do it if you see something. But like, you only get a couple times until we have to go back to the real formula,
right? And then is Aaron gonna be like, yo, Arthur, I got a little more pelts on the wall than you do.
That's
all I'm saying. These are the things that I would.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is really in a place right now mentally and, you know, just, I guess, spiritually to even want to have that back and forth.
He said it's all like, peace, love, and fun, baby.
It's all peace, love, and fun.
Right now.
You get married. Absolutely. First, yeah, right, the honeymoon, now. Right? The honeymoon phase.
I think it's the biggest off-field/on-field storyline really of this season is, are those guys going to see eye to eye? I'm inclined to think, because it's Aaron's last year, that it is going to be okay. With Russ, I felt like he needed to prove himself. I got to go out and get that big contract. I want to stay in the league longer. Because even when he signed here, he said he wanted to win multiple championships. Yeah, exactly. He wanted to stick around for a while. And I think he thought the best way to do that was by doing his own thing. Much more meat on this bone. We'll get to that coming up next. And we've got breaking Penguins news when we return. All right, breaking Penguins news. This was reported by a couple of different outlets yesterday, but not confirmed by anybody that I necessarily trusted, but seems pretty legit now. Renaud Laveau. I'm sure I'm butchering his name. French-Canadian. He reports, Anthony Mantha has signed a one-year deal with the Penguins with a base salary of $2.5 million. If he's healthy, another $2 million in bonuses available to him. I've had a crush on Anthony Mantha for a long time because he scores dirty goals. He is 6'5", built like a brick-you-know-what house. And if they had got him a couple of years ago, he would have been exactly what they needed.
Right.
But now, had he been healthy last year, he would have wound up getting a lot more money for more term on the open market. When he's healthy, he scores 20 goals and he's huge. And those are things that are valued big time in the NHL. Last season, he was hurt, so he only played in 13 games, scored 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points. The way you can look at this is the Penguins just acquired a second-round pick at the trade deadline. Gotcha. That's how I would view this. He's the perfect kind of bounce-back candidate that you sign for cheap, and then you stink, and at the deadline, you flip him. I think that's what they're doing here.
You guys are hockey guys. Let me ask you this. Excuse me.
You okay there, Doug? You emotional about the Anthony Mantha signing?
Yeah, I am. just looking at their draft, they seem to have gotten huge, right?
Their third pick in the first round is a big guy.
6'5", yeah.
The second pick in the first round was 6'2".
Yeah.
The guys that they signed yesterday, even though they're not long-term solutions, were bigger guys. The forward in particular.
Yeah, the question I have is, does size win in the NHL or does speed win in the NHL in today's NHL?
I love that question because I think that skill and scoring are what wins. And if you do that by being a smaller, speedy team, you can win. If you do it by being big and physical and pounding a submission, you win. But I think you need star power, and I think you need scoring, and I think you need skill. Because we've seen the Penguins do it multiple ways. Right. Like, in 2009, they were tough to play against, I thought, but they had the top-end scoring and skill. 16, they were small and fast, and 17, too, but to a lesser extent, because they sort of just held on to win that championship, but they were probably the fastest team in the league. I think the league has moved to size.
Oh, okay.
But I think it doesn't matter if you're big or small, as far as I'm concerned, but you got to have that skill.
Well, if I'm building a team in modern hockey right now, I think that this method is a good way because I would start with the size and then work my way up from the rebuild to the skill.
Okay.
Like, and I think that's what they're trying to do. Like, they might tank for the McKenna kid who's probably going to go to Penn State or Michigan State, and he's one of the best kids, obviously. Coming out next year, and that'll be your star. That'll be your skill. That'll be your points. But you also have the backfill of the size. Mm-hmm. So I would start with size, then move to speed, then move to like, all right, these are my stars. That's kind of how I would build it if I was rebuilding.
Right.
So I think it's a melding of everything.
Gotcha.
I think they want to get big.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's what it seems like, and I didn't know if that's what's winning in the NHL, like the Florida Panthers. Are they size?
Oh,
are they skilled?
Yeah.
Okay. They're
the combination. They're size and skill.
And that's what wins.
Right.
Yep.
Like, you think about Tkachuk, he'll punch you in the face and knock your teeth out, and then he'll go score on you 2 seconds later.
That's hard to find.
Yeah, those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah,
those Tom Wilsons. Brad Marchand, not a big guy, but he'll get up in your face, and we know what a pest he is, but he's got skill, too. Mm-hmm. They've got it all. I mean, they do. But, yeah, I think the league is going in that direction. I think since the Penguins won with the speed and the skill, it's sort of morphed back to this. And it's cyclical.
Right.
But I do think you need to be able to have that star power. Mm-hmm. And whether that comes with the big guys or the small guys, I think that's what's always been true in the NHL.
Yeah.
Now it's in vogue to get the big, strong guys that are also the skilled players.
So it sounds like it's almost like the NBA where your 6'7" guys got to be able to handle the rock and shoot the three.
Mm-hmm.
Or 7-foot guys. I got you. All right. That's good. Thanks for the
Those guys don't grow on trees either.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're hard to find.
Yeah, I love Anthony Mantha. He would have been perfect a couple of years ago because, again, you can't find guys that are that size that score goals. There's not that many of them around, which is why this is a great move, I think, by Dubas. If he becomes what he was before his injury, you can flip him at the deadline because guys like him are absolutely going to be sought after. Mm-hmm. So, shrewd. I mean, you think they should suck, right?
You talking about the Penguins?
Yeah.
Yeah, if this McKenna guy is the next up-and-coming guy that's going to be generational, why not?
The great thing about it, too, is even if you didn't get him, that this draft, upcoming draft, is looked at as a better draft than the one that they just went through.
And that's where you say there's a plan. Just like the Steelers, I know I'm giving the counterpoint to everybody's positive of the trade and what they're doing in this offseason, I do recognize, and I've said this, they have a plan. They're just not at every day saying, oh, let's do this or let's do this. No, they have a dedicated plan that they are executing to the T, I think. Now, I think there's some flaws in it, and I also don't know about them developing, but I love that they have a plan.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody knows about the developmental aspect of it. They just hired a coach that is a developmental coach, so you hope that he is, but no, we don't know that. And you know they've got 28 picks in the next 3 years,
right?
16 of them in rounds 1 through 3. You have to hit on those picks. The Browns had picks for a long time, and that didn't necessarily work out for them. All right, flipping the conversation back to the Steelers. TJ Watt, we think this is getting done. They're just playing around in the media, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. It's just look at the history of the Steelers. I mean, it's something for us to talk about, and we can talk about it every day, but TJ's going to be pissed until he signs the deal. And it's going to happen at the last possible moment, either the week before the first game, maybe boarding going into the first game that week. It's going to happen. Both sides are there. And sometimes it even gets to the point where the agent's going to draw it out because he's like, TJ, man, I'm working hard for you. I'm earning he's justifying his job. And then at times, like, hey, we know it's going to get done. What will happen soon as when it gets probably 10 days before the start of when they cut off everything, that's when they'll sharpen their pencils, get everything done, and he'll ink the deal. It always happens this way.
You've talked about deadlines before.
Mm-hmm. Well, no one's surprised. Last extension, what happened? Cam's extension, what happened?
September, yeah.
Exactly.
I think people are surprised because of all the moves they've made in the last couple of years.
Right. That is irrelevant to what's
going on.
And that's where I can see where the public is saying, well, they're doing this, they're doing this. They're not prioritizing TJ. No. A deal like that just takes time. It's intricate. But they have carved out the money and the cap space to get this done. Me personally, I hope they front load it. And I personally hope 40 is the going rate right now? I hope they give them 50 the first 2 years and then front load it and have the back, like the last 2 or 3 years, whatever, give them back down the 40. So it blows Garrett out of the water, makes him happy, and shows we are truly want him to be a Steeler for life and gives him the flexibility because after 2 years, you got the flexibility to do whatever you want to. And by that time, he may not be going downhill or on the slide. But if he is, you got the flexibility to get out of it.
Yeah, because a lot of people, myself included, have said you're paying him for what he's done, not what he's going to do. But if you're paying him a lot in those first 2 years, I think all of us, even people who don't want to see the Steelers get pot committed to this guy, imagine he's going to be a really good player at least for these couple of seasons.
At least 2 years.
And after this year, you're going to have a rookie quarterback, we all think, on a rookie deal with a Mason Rudolph at $4 million as a backup and a Will Howard on his rookie deal. And then when Mason walks away, Will Howard as the backup quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. You have the plan to be able to really reward him for being TJ Watt in the past and what he's going to bring to you right now. And then once you get that, it's going to be possibly 3 to 4 years before you have to pay a quarterback unless they sign one in free agents. So you have that flexibility. So let's cash everybody out. That's what I would
do. You don't got to pay Minka. You do have to pay Ramsey, but
maybe Johnny.
Yeah. But those guys, because they're older, 1 or 2 year deals.
They going to pay Johnny this year?
They picked up a $12 million for the following year. Yeah.
Yeah, they added. And they added to Ramsey, like 1.2 or something.
Yeah, and with Ramsey, as far as I understand it, I'm no capologist by any means, which I state every time I talk about it. They can get out of it even after 1 year, and it's not going to kill them all that bad.
Just like the Pirates.
I have a question for you. Do we have time? You just want to go through?
Why don't we do it when we come back?
Okay.
I don't know what I'm looking around for. Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. A football guy asks another football guy a question when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley with us for one more segment. Doran, you said you had a question for Mr. Whaley.
Why do you think the production fell off from Minka Fitzpatrick in order for them to possibly even entertain trading him? Now, I know that they weren't going to pay him probably. Mm-hmm. coming up, but it, his production did slip off from, you know, when he first arrived here. And you being, you know, a DB guru, what did you see in his game that hindered him from making the plays that would warrant his contract?
What I saw was the usage. When they first got here, they were like, all right, you're going to be that where you just go find ball. Go get ball, find ball. Now, later in the – and maybe it was their feeling about the defense as a whole, he was the last line of defense. You just don't give up the big play. And that's a tough position to be in, to be a playmaker. There's a difference in making plays and being a playmaker. He made plays as making touchdown-saving tackles and stuff like that, and he made sure everybody else was in position, but he wasn't making being a playmaker like he was when he first got here. And it seemed like they were closer to the line of scrimmage. Hey, go get that guy, undercut this route, jump that route. Do whatever you see, be a football player and be a playmaker. That's the difference. Now, what changed in their philosophy and why they needed to do put him back as the last line of defense instead of being out there and being a playmaker, I don't know. That's a question we'd have to ask them.
I know that he was a three-time All-Pro, and he ultimately, beyond that, netted them now Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. I think you could make an argument, though, that it was a bad trade because they wound up finishing that season 8-8 when Ben was hurt. And he had three or four game-changing plays that if he doesn't make them, they might lose three or four more games. And maybe Justin Herbert's their quarterback. You know, maybe they do get their quarterback that year. Yeah. Right. I don't know what they would have done. They might not.
You mean initially a bad trade to get him?
Right. Okay. Because had they not had him, they could have stunk. Yep. And they wouldn't have had to do the thing where they say, hey, we're tanking.
No.
We just lost our franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, they couldn't win us games. Mm-hmm. I think you make the argument it was a failure. Now, obviously, he wound up being a good player for them, a great player for them for a while. But I don't know. They might not have drafted a quarterback that year either, though. I mean, clearly they thought they were close enough, and that's why they got Minka.
They traded, a first-round pick for him?
First round, yeah.
They sure did.
Hmm. Wow.
So do you think that the time he was here plus the first-round pick they gave up is equal, lesser, or greater than Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey? And the seventh they got? When you encapsulate all of it. I think it's about the same.
It would have been the 18th pick, but without him, it probably would have been closer to a top 10 pick. Right? Because they wouldn't have had him making those plays.
Oh, and let me throw in Mike T keeping his streak alive. So,
I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah.
They didn't win a playoff game in that time, though.
I guess time will tell if all that pans out after this year.
Yeah.
That's right. Then you'll be able to close the book on it.
Close the book.
Like, so if on how Ramsey
and Jonnu are gone after this year, like most Pirate signees.
Yep. Yeah.
Doug, take your mom to the Pirate game.
I think I might have to.
You sit in the shade or you sit in the sun in a day game?
Well, my seats are in the sun. But so today I'm going in the shade. If I can. So.
When I was a kid, I loved day games. Now I'm old, and I get sunburnt. I hate them.
Yep.
I like them early in the season and later in the season.
Well said.
Yep.
Doug, this was fun.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll talk to you next week. Doran, tomorrow's our Friday.
That's it.
And Pat Bostic's coming in for 3 hours.
He is.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high 84, low 65. Clear skies, beautiful day for baseball with Mitch Keller on the mound, trying to sweep the homestand against the Cardinals. Talk to you tomorrow.